1 Timothy chapter 3, once again, please. And we're going to be moving to a couple of other scriptures as well. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 1 Timothy chapter 3, in just two verses, and we'll jump right into things tonight. And we'll see how far we get. I don't know how far we will get, but we'll get as far as we can. But look what it says here in verses 15 and 16. Paul writing to Timothy about the qualifications of the pastors and the deacons and just the order of things in the local church. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." We've been talking about the vocation of the local church. And by the way, that doesn't mean the building is going to accomplish these things. All right? You understand that? Everybody as a kid, you did the little thing, right? You know, you put your fingers together and you said, "Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people." That's right. The people who never did that before. Everybody's done that, right? Okay, fantastic. Most everybody. Okay, good. That's just a fun kids thing, right, kids? Where's the kids? Yeah, they're all nodding. They got this. But the people, right? There's not the walls, the pews, the brick, the steeple, you know, not all that stuff. That doesn't do the work of the ministry. The people do. And so being a part of a local church and serving in a local church is great, because guess what? The pastor can't be everything in the local church. He just can't. It's just not physically possible. We know the church is made up of volunteers, and that's what is part of what we are here in the local church. If you take your Bibles and go over to Ephesians 4, we were over there last week. Ephesians chapter 4, we see the importance of the church working together and God, if you will, putting those in the body of Christ that need to be there for the function of the church. Okay? The church is supposed to function, not be dysfunctional, right? And so we see here, if you kind of look at the beginning, we'll just kind of go through this in verse 1. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." By the way, that's how a church should be, right? Long suffering, forbearing, we're in love. He says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering," "endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Church should be a peaceful place. It shouldn't be full of backbiting and arguing and this family hates this family and this, you know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be a peacefully functioning body. I mean, how would you like it if your finger had a grudge against your ear? You know? Stop that, you know, and just flicking your ear all the time. How many of you have been flicked in the ear before? Yeah, it's no fun, is it? Yeah. Brother Smith, he didn't used to flick us in the ear. He used to come and he grabbed that really tender part of your arm, underneath your arm, and pinch. He called it pinch. He'd pinch you. South Texas, East Texas pronunciation there. But that always hurts. So I try not to get on that side of him when they go by. But it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be good. He said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Folks, he's in us, right? All of us, if you will, nobody got more of Jesus or the Holy Spirit upon salvation than somebody else. You understand that, okay? We all, now, can we all be filled to different levels? Absolutely. That's a different subject. And we all should desire to be filled with the Spirit. That means to the brim, if you will, or overflowing. That's what we should want. But we all have Christ, and we all should be focused on Christ, because it's his church and we are his. We're bought with a price. So he goes on to say this in verse 7. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So you understand that we all have different abilities, different functions that God wants us to work in. He says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So there's different parts of the body of Christ, and they perform different functions. Now, we know that the apostles, that's no longer a thing, okay? One of the qualifications to be an apostle is you had to physically see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not happening. And, okay, that's over with. That's done. Prophets. Prophecies, they shall fail, right? They're done. Okay, so there's no more prophecies, right? The prophecies are all here. And the last prophecies to be fulfilled and had are found where, everybody? Sunday morning, Sunday school. Yes, the revelation, right? The unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that. And then he says here, some evangelists. Are there still evangelists? Oh, yes. Yes, the office of evangelist. And what is basically the evangelist? Just the watchdog of the local church. That's what I like to call it, right? It's that other voice, if you will, because sometimes a church gets a little bit dull to the own voice of its pastor, right? So sometimes the pastor will have an evangelist come in, preaching the same messages, basically, the same thing, just a different voice. And everybody's like, whoa, you know, and just, instead of the shepherd calling your name, the watchdog is going, raff, 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 you know, it's just a different voice. And so we have evangelists. Those are in existence today. And some pastors. Are there pastors? Yes, yes. And are there teachers? Absolutely. I've had the privilege of teaching at Trinity Baptist Bible College. I'm a professor there. I have been since the spring of 2006. And I get to teach the ed classes, all the education classes. I get to teach those classes. I teach general teaching methods, introduction to education, philosophy of education, tests and measurements, which we're doing right now, teaching children reading, teaching math, science, and history, and special education, and I lost one. I teach another class too. Classroom leadership. That's a good one. I teach eight core classes for education, and you know what? My goal is to teach teachers, and I tell teachers, young teachers, I said, basically, everyone's a teacher. You know, if you will, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but the common church member is a teacher. We all have a circle of influence, folks. And in that circle of influence, we are passing on knowledge and information, maybe not verbally, but maybe, but by our walk and our example to the believers. Doesn't the Bible tell us to be an example of the believers? We're supposed to be a Christian so that other people will want to be Christians. And now, again, I'm not going to get into the lifestyle evangelism stuff and all that nonsense. But honestly and truly, we're supposed to live it out every day. Because we're teachers. We're showing the next generation how to live. And guess what? What we do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. Exactly. That's what happens. If you were to draw a line, And you're right on the edge of the line, guess where the people you're teaching are going to be? Over the line. But if you back up here, guess where they're going to be? More than likely in the safe zone. Okay? So we've got to be that kind of an example. And he's given us this work to do, and he gives us the vocation here in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now listen. If I had something on my body that was infecting the rest of my body, what should I do? I should try to treat it, right? That's a good thing. If you can treat it, you know, maybe you take care of it. I mean, the first mode should not just be, oh, cut it off, you know. Okay, save that to last, okay? That's just a, you know, precaution. You get, oh, there's a spot, whack, you know.
Let's wait. Hold on a second. Let's see. If you want to, you can go back in the Old Testament and look at all the Levitical laws about, you know, covering the spot, and then if it has a rise, you know, those are fun to go through and look at that. And all, if there be a hair, and if there be a whitish, reddish, you know, spot, and this, you know, all that stuff, that's fun. But anyways, no, I mean, but if a doctor told me, look, we've done all we can do, but if you don't get rid of this finger, it's going to infect the other fingers. And it's going to spread to the rest of your hand, and et cetera, your body, your arm, all that stuff. What would I do? There goes the finger. Okay? So realize that we're supposed to, as the body of Christ, edify. Not tear down, not destroy, not infect. We're supposed to add to. We're supposed to be beneficial to the body. All of us. And to be a member of a local church is to support the local church. To serve in the local church. To be a blessing to the local church. Not to take. Or not to infect. Not to destroy or tear down. But to build up and to add to and to bring value to the local church. So we're supposed to edify the body of Christ. And he says there's a purpose for this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. So just to paint a pretty picture for you about church membership. Not everybody, well, not anybody in the local church is perfect. Nobody is. We all have flaws, we all have faults, we all have failures. And by the way, for most of us, we have some peaks and valleys in our lives. I mean, I wish there were, and maybe there are that I don't know of, but I would be hesitant to say that there's a Christian alive today that has constantly just grown and grown, never plateaued, never taken a step back. I wish that were the case. And if it is, I apologize. I don't mean to hurt your feelings if you're one of those people. But do you understand humanity? I don't think anybody's just been on an upward climb their entire Christian life and has never faltered, has never stumbled, has never backslid. I just find that kind of hard to believe. Because guess what? Maybe in a week's time, I stumble and fall. I mean, we all skin our knees or skin our elbows, in the Christian life. It's just a fact. Why? Because we're flesh. And that's just the case. So it's not about that, but it's about the desire to want to continually invest, continually grow, continually edify, continually be a part of the local church. And guess what? You have to start somewhere. When you get saved, you desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And you take in the word of God and you mature and you grow. You start dumping out self and adding in the spirit. You start getting rid of worldly philosophies and adding in biblical philosophies. It's a process. And sometimes it takes months and years and decades to grow. And guess what? When you do stumble and fall, what are you supposed to do? Get back up. Get it right. And go on for the Lord. And so this is a continual process that we as the believer go through. Now here at our church, I have more than this, and we're only going to get through some of them tonight. But we have guidelines and things like that as far as the ministries of our local church. And every church member should serve somehow. Okay? Somehow. And it's great to just get your feet wet. First of all, I'll just speak to everybody that's here in attendance, those online. We want you to be a member. Come and join us. I mean, I always tell people, look, visit a church, find God's will. But if you know it's God's will for you to be here and you agree with what we say, we went through the doctrines and all the things, then join up. We want you to be here. You know, we want more members. That's just great. But once you do join up, begin to serve. So I've got outlined, and we'll be publishing this soon, but I want to go through these. It's called levels of leadership. And you know what? You can grow. You don't have to jump in. Oh, I'm going to be a Sunday school coordinator right off the bat. Boom. Usually that doesn't happen. Okay. You got to start low. Start on the bottom level, if you will. And it's not some kind of, initiation or orientation kind of thing. It's just the proper way. You don't take a seed out of a packet and say, okay, in 1 week, I want peaches. It doesn't work that way. You got to plant the seed, right? It's got to germinate, and then it's got to grow into a young, what do they call it? A sprig? No. What's it called? A sapling. I knew that. Sprig. Where did I get sprig from? I don't know. Is that that's a thing too, right? A sprig? Okay. All right, a sapling. A lot of times with like a peach tree, I think it's, was it 3 to 5 years, right? Before it's really starting to produce. So it takes, those things take time. And so, it takes time to grow in the Lord, grow in the local church, etc. So here's the really easy part. Level one, be a member and regularly attend church. That's great, right? Be a member and regularly attend church. So what can you do as a member that regularly attends Lighthouse Baptist Church? Well, you can be a part of non-service ministries, such as weekly soul winning, nursing home helper, if we have a nursing home ministry, food groups, vacation Bible school volunteer, country fair booth operator, friend day guest host. You can participate in the general type ministries, if you will, that, and we'll call them, I don't even want to call them that, so I'm not going to. Just the common ministries, the regular stuff that kind of happens, on a time to time. You know, just pitching in. You're just pitching in, giving a hand to this or that, and just being a part and a functioning part of the local church, okay? And so, that's the beginning, type thing. So to be a volunteer in a local church, you can participate in these things. And what are the expectations? Regularly attend church, be a member, and just be here and be a part of what the church is doing. You know, pitching in, taking out the trash, doing this, doing that. You know, just serving in a general sense in your local church. That's level one. Everybody can do that. The wonderful thing about this levels of leadership is it builds. So when you get to level two, guess what you still get to do? Level one. Yeah, you get to do both. Isn't that great? So not only can you do level two stuff, you can do level one stuff too and keep doing level one stuff. I mean, guess what I do? I'm the pastor. Guess what I participate in? Level one stuff. You know what I really like? I like taking out the trash. I like helping in the country fair booths. I love getting a chance to go soul winning. If my wife would let me, I'd be in a food group. But she won't. She said, I can't be in a food group. I think, you know what? Yeah, no, she didn't say that. Tell him louder. Stand up for yourself. Your husband beats you down. No. I just had an epiphany. I love it. Is that the right? That's the right term of it, right? A vision. We have, how many do we have? Four? We have four ladies food groups. We need a guys food group. Is that a bad idea? No, some of us guys get to be the ones that provide a meal for somebody. What do you think, guys? Who said yes? Nathan, you want in? Okay, all right. Can we do that, Mrs. Combs? You gonna write us down? Food groups are, we provide meals for people that get hospital, you know, in the hospital or come out of the hospital or ladies had a baby or, you know, something happens. Should we do that? Is that a good thing? I don't know. It just hit me. Yes, it is. Okay. Cause I like to cook. I enjoy it. It's fun. Okay. We're going to put that on the burner. Okay. All right. Don't burn it though. Get it going. Get it bubbling. All right. But, you know, these things are wonderful. Be a friend day, a guest host, or a parking lot attendant, or just general things. That's a wonderful thing to do. But as a volunteer, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And in leadership and in the membership of Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're considering this a responsibility, and we're asked to conduct ourselves in behavior as becometh holiness. Remember, we read through Titus, and he told Titus, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, patience. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." And so, this is at the bottom rung. And everybody can do this. Everybody can serve and be a part. And what is required? Well, a volunteer is a position of support. That's what a volunteer is. And being respectful of leadership, following instructions of the ministry coordinator, and avoiding negativity should define the spirit and action of every volunteer. While on duty, volunteers must dress conservatively. We should be a representative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of this local church. Men should be clean cut and nicely dressed. So, guys, make sure you cut cleanly and nicely dressed. And, you know, you don't want a jagged cut. Those get infected and hurt. Clean cuts. I'm trying. I really am. I like my puns. I just don't want to let go of them. Okay. But clean cut. And you know what that means. Nicely dressed. Women should wear non-revealing shirts or blouses, modest dresses or skirts to cover the knee. Tank tops and shorts are not permitted. Casual attire such as denim, t-shirts, sandals may be appropriate at times, but are discouraged for events that are more spiritual in nature, such as soul winning, visitation, or if we're doing country fair. It just depends on what the parameters that have been given or the particular occasion, requires. Okay? And that's what we want to do. Volunteers should speak in a way that is becoming of a Christian. This is amazing, right? This is just general level one stuff for a member of a local church and a servant of Jesus Christ. Cursing, using the Lord's name in vain, inappropriate vocabulary or off-color comments are never to be spoken. That's okay, right? In other words, we need to manage and bridle our tongue. Okay? And you know what? Let me just say this as just an aside, because it's not written in here. But input, output, you understand that? Hey, if on an entertainment level, you're consuming that kind of stuff in your ears, guess where it's going to come out? Your mouth. Look, we have little kids, right? Little kids are great mimickers. Not only whatever you say, however you say what you say, it's going to come out that way. Okay, so we've got to be careful. Another thing it says here is that it just asks, are there any circumstances such as past felonies or current court hearings or significant accusations that leadership should be aware of when reviewing your volunteer application? Folks, listen, I hate to have to put this stuff in here, but it's the reality of our world today. And it's best to know these things. Not everything that's in a person's past is disqualifying. Sometimes it's just good to know. It's important to know. You say, to take out the trash in a local church, folks, I'm sorry, but we're serving Jesus Christ. It's okay. Is everybody perfect? No. But just tell us. There's nothing to hide. And so we need to do this. That's kind of thing. That's level one. You're listening pretty well. I might get to level two. Level two. Look at there. We made it. Part of my humor. Okay. Here we go. I want to serve in the local church. So the first was just volunteer, just doing regular type stuff, group type settings, not getting into individual classes or particular works, particular ministries in the local church, just kind of generally serving. That's volunteering. Every church member can do that. Number two, I want to serve. Be eligible for in-service ministry such as choir, ushers, audio-visual ministry, nursery and altar working. May also volunteer to work with students during non-service times, such as on a bus route. So in-service means this occurs in the sanctuary or nursery during the preaching time of the service. Okay, so this in-service ministry, we're serving the Lord in the local church. So the ministries of this in-service ministry, such as choir, ushers, nursery, altar workers, safety team, which we are wanting to develop. Safety team is a good thing to have in a local church. It's kind of a usher plus ministry, okay? That's the safety team, okay? Baptistry attendant, etc. These people may work with students during non-service times, such as on a bus route, maybe a bus worker or a bus driver, in the soul winning nursery, or during conferences and at special events. So this is what we're talking about here. This is, if you will, general church service. All right, we're serving the Lord in a particular capacity in the local church. Now, one of the things that requires for a service in the local church, not just a volunteer, but a servant in the local church, is a background check. You say, why do you need to do a background check? Safety. Listen, anybody can come, be a member of the local church, generally volunteer, doing things, that's great. But you know what? When it comes to actually serving and being a representative, if you will, of the kind of a face, you know, like, hey, the usher at the door, the altar worker down front, certainly nursery workers in the nursery, we need to know who and what you are, or even who and what you used to be. You know what? I want people to be able to serve. But let me just stop here and say something about this. You can't ever go too far to come back to God. You can't. But you can do some things that disqualify you from being able to do stuff. That's not the church's fault. That's not my fault. That's not God's fault. But you know what? There are some people that have done things that do disqualify them from a lot of stuff in the local church. And I'm just going to say this. What's done is done. I understand. But you can only then serve in some capacities. It's you, and God didn't limit you. I didn't limit you. The deacon board's not limiting you. This local church is not limiting you. You limited you. But we still love you. God forgives. And we still want you to serve to the fullest of your capacity, whatever you can. And that's up to the church leadership to decide that. And how do we do that? By doing background checks. By asking questions. Those things are very important. Does everybody understand my heart there? And it's not to beat up anybody or what you've done. You say, well, you should be a... there. Show grace, brother. I am. But I didn't do those things and I didn't limit you. You did. And it's okay. And I'm not going to hold it against anybody. You know, just by calling what color something is that's not racist, folks. There are things that are, you know, some things are black, some things are white. That's not racist. So it's just calling stuff what it is. And so this is not any kind of calling anybody out or anything like that. It's just being a wise steward of the ministry. And this is something that we need to do. Volunteers who drive on behalf of the church may have their driving record reviewed and kept on file. That's called responsible. All right? If you've had your license taken away 6 times and you finally got it back, I don't know if I want you to drive the church bus. Okay, do you understand? I mean, that's just being responsible, okay? I think this is wise, all right? Responsibilities. Be informed of the specific policies and practices of your particular ministry as outlined in a policy handbook. And I'm going to give you some ideas of that, what's coming. Familiarize yourself with the general workings of other ministries so you can be a friendly and helpful church member. You know what's great? It's great if the Sunday school teachers know what the altar workers are doing and what the ushers are doing and what the nursery workers are doing, because then we can function together as a team. But you go to a nursery worker and say, "Hey, who do I need to talk about this?" And you're like, "I don't know." "Well, what about the head usher?" I don't even know who that is. And I don't even know what they do. What's their responsibility? You know, we should, right? We should know how each other work and those types of things. So one of the things, some of the things here about the background check is kind of a standard form. And let me just read to you what it says. To promote the safety of children and students and the people, and also to comply with Texas state law. Isn't that cool? You know, how many of you at your work, they do background checks? Yeah, a lot of places do, right? And to satisfy liability insurance requirements, background checks required for level 2 volunteers. So you say, you know what? I just want to... Oh, by the way, let me take a step back. Nobody ever should criticize another church member for just forever being a level 1 volunteer. Sometimes that's what people's capacity is. And you know what? That's okay. And if they say, "Hey, you know, why don't you be a level 2 volunteer? Or, excuse me, a level 2 servant to serve in the local church." I just don't want to. "Well, why not? Have you done something wrong that disqualifies?" That'd be horrible to say to somebody else. So don't ever judge someone else just based on because they don't want to serve. I hope you understand this is about growth, right? I just threw that in there because I didn't want anybody to think that. Now, but filling out a background check, by the way, you shouldn't be afraid to fill out a background check. Now, you may say to me, "Pastor, I would love to do this, but I don't want to fill out a background check." Well, then I say, "Okay, but then you can't do this." That's just how it is. Okay? And so by the way, that's okay. I'm not going to belittle you. I'm not going to think badly of you. That's just the way it is. Okay? All right, I'm going to get into this just a little bit. All right, level 3. So everybody understands level 1, volunteer. Everybody stands level 2, serving in the local church in an in-service ministry like choir, usher, audiovisual, the nursery, altar worker, those kinds of things where it's in service. All right. Now we have something outside of that, and that's level 3, and this is qualified to be in an actual ministry. Okay, like a teaching ministry or working here. I'll give you the definitions here. This is someone who's serving in a during service ministry, such as Sunday school. For instance, so when I'm having my Sunday school class, there are other Sunday school classes going, and those teachers, if you will, are representing me, the pastor. You know, here in the church service, I'm leading the service, right? I know Brother Camp helps out, the ushers help, but I'm the one directing the service. I'm the worship leader. I'm in charge of the service. Don't tell Brother Camp. He thinks he's the worship leader. But but he's not here tonight, but he's watching. Everybody wave to Brother Camp. Okay, hello. Now, they're on vacation. They'll be back soon. But I'm the one direct. So, but when I'm teaching my Sunday school class, someone else is teaching their Sunday. They're in position of being a teacher. So they're leading their class and directing their class. They're a part of that. So that's during service ministry, such as Sunday school, the Sunday school nursery, and children's churches. So this is serving in those capacities, if you will, outside of the church service. So what you need to do to be a level 3 person is to meet the level 2 qualifications and the level 1 qualifications. You got to meet all these qualifications. Remember, we don't just jump into level 3. We go 1, 2, 3, and we meet all those qualifications. And for this one, we need to conduct ourselves in a manner that is an example of what a Lighthouse Baptist Church member is. So I'll read it to you here. Ministry privileges include being a regular helper in Sunday school class, also permitted to serve during service ministry such as Sunday school nursery, children's church, junior church, which is basically the same thing. A bus church, if there is a bus church, as a deaf interpreter, and level 3 volunteers may chaperone overnight student activities such as camp. Okay? You're getting pretty involved in specific ministries of the local church. Not just serving like an usher or an altar worker, etc., but really getting into teaching young people, being someone that's standing up representing the pastor in a class, okay? And so this is expectations. Loyalty to the Word of God, loyalty to the gospel of Jesus Christ, loyalty to the church program, and to the pastor is expected of all ministry helpers. That seems reasonable, doesn't it? If you're going to actually help in a Sunday school class, or in a children's church, or in a junior church, or bus church, or Sunday school nursery, you're the one teaching the lesson. So guess what you should be teaching? Yeah, things that are loyal to this ministry, and loyal to this pastor, and to the things that we're preaching and teaching in this local church. Now, this part of the expectations is put in here for the health of the ministry worker. Let me explain. What's one of the dangers of serving in a local church or serving in a church ministry? It becomes all work and no edification. Right? So guess what you need to do? You need to be in a church service. You need to sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word, so that you can continue to grow. Instead of just putting out, and never taking in. I have been in churches, maybe you've been in churches. I don't think it's ever been in this church, I don't know. But, because I haven't been here the whole time, but I try to protect this as the pastor. I try to help protect people, not, if you will, get burnout. Okay? I know of some ministries where they don't have anybody else and they want all these ministries, so the same person does everything. And they're never in church. They're always out of church. They're always in a nursery service, or they're always in a bus church. They're always out doing this. They're always out doing that. And they're never sitting in church, taking in the preaching, soaking in that time of worshiping God. They're just always busy, 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 busy. That's a danger. And by the way, that's not healthy. That's not spiritually healthy. So one of the requirements of the level 3 is, and it's here because we don't want you to start jumping into everything so that you're never here in church. So one of the requirements beginning at level 3 is that you must attend at least one preaching service every week. Now that's pretty low, right? That's pretty reasonable because you have, if you will, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just one. Just one time to sit in and you get to absorb instead of just giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out. Okay? So, by the way, that's the very minimum. I'd like it if someone were to be able to take in at least two services. But at least one is a requirement. Okay? And so we have that there. By the way, volunteering during service ministry does not constitute being present for the preaching, okay? So in other words, you can't say, well, I was in children's church. Well, yeah, but that's children's church. You weren't in here, okay? You need to be in here at least one service on a weekly basis, okay? And so those are the expectations. Responsibilities. Be informed of the specific policies and practices of your ministry as outlined in the handbook. Familiarize yourself with the general workings of other ministries so you can be a friendly and helpful church member. Understand the chain of command. Oh, this is great. Right, Brother Parks? Brother Hollingshead? Chain of command is important. And by the way, you business types, chain of command is important, isn't it? Okay? So you need to understand how your department works to operate within the parameters of the system. By the way, really the overall chain of command is the pastor is at the top, right? The assistant pastor is next, Any director of a ministry or coordinator of a ministry is next on the list. Then the teacher of that class or that group, and then the worker. All right. So you're the worker. Guess where you are? The helper. You're the worker. You're at the bottom. All right. So you go up to the next one. Who do you go to? You're the teacher that's teaching the class, right? And then who do they go to? The coordinator or the overseer. Who do they go to? The assistant pastor. And who do they go to? The pastor. You know, it's how the chain of command works. Flexibility and willingness to provide assistance in any area within the department is essential to being a ministry servant. And that's what we should all want to be. Okay? Now, as we conclude, I want you to understand that we should live in our world the way God wants us to live because we're part of His body. And we ought to work and serve according to our abilities. Now, I'm going to get into the rest of this. With level three, there's some things we need to learn. It's called safety, communication, and spirit in the ministry. And you know what? Because now we're actually working in the inner workings in the parts of the Sunday school classes, the children's churches, the bus churches, and teaching, etc. We'll get to teachers next time. Teaching is level four. Okay. By the way, we're not just going to, somebody comes in and gets saved and joins the church, and we're not just going to make them a Sunday school teacher the next month. All right, there's a growing process to get into that position. But there's some things that all people that work with children and work in our ministry should know. And we're going to get into those details as we come along. But I want you to realize that as we serve our Lord, we need to keep this in mind. Remember what Titus is told here by Paul. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men," or appeared to all men, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." By the way, doesn't that just kind of sum up everything we've talked about? That we need to behave ourselves, we need to be serving, be a part of a local church, jump in, volunteer, take that next step, you know, and prove what we are in Christ to others. He says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all, authority. Let no man despise thee." So he encourages Titus. He says, "Titus, don't be afraid to say these things." And by the way, as your pastor, if you can tell, I'm very comfortable saying these things. I want everyone to know what it takes to be a good church member and to be a part of a local church. And by the way, we've got to have a plan. Because if we don't have a plan, if we don't have levels, if we don't have guidelines, we're going to be a mess. And we're going to be wide open to attack from the devil. You know what he loves to attack? He loves to attack dysfunction. He loves to attack bitterness. He loves to attack unrest. He loves mutiny, you know, and there's all kinds of things that are associated with all that. He loves wreaking havoc. That's one of my favorite Bible terms. Paul was wreaking havoc in the church. You know, he loves tearing stuff apart. And things like this keep things together. Keep things, by the way, I like 1 Corinthians 14:40 as well. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, so now, I hope you understand, we're unpacking a lot of baggage here, okay? Lots of stuff is coming out of the suitcase. And so, by the way, this is only maybe a quarter of it, all right? We got way more, I didn't even get through this book. All right, we got more to unpack here. There's lots to discuss. And it's all valuable. It's valuable to us as locals. Now, for some of you, you may have been a part of writing some of these things, okay? Which is great. But we all need to review it. We need to keep it fresh in our minds. And we need to do the things to the best of our ability as a member of this local body of believers.